This is chapter 35 of the 10th canto. This is a new Gita we're starting called Yuga Gita. Prabhupada gives an introduction to this. The gopis of Vrindavan were so attached to Krishna that they were not satisfied simply with rasa dance at night. They wanted to associate with Krishna in the daytime also. When Krishna went to the forest with the cows and cowboys, the gopis didn't physically go with him, but their hearts went with him. Interesting. Their hearts went. When Krishna went, because their hearts went, they were able to enjoy Krishna's company through strong feelings of separation. To acquire the strong feelings of separation is the teaching of Sri Chaitanya and the Six Goswamis. When we are not in physical contact with Krishna, we can associate with Krishna like the gopis through feelings of separation. Krishna stressed out four qualities, pastimes, and associates all identical with him. Devotional service to Krishna in feelings of separation elevates the devotee to the highest perfectional stage, the level of the gopis. When Chaitanya was in Jagannath Puri, he was in the mood of Radharani, feeling separation from Krishna. Those who are Gaudiya Sampradaya should also feel separation from Krishna. The spiritual masters should enrich their devotees to the highest devotional perfection, feeling constant separation while engaged in serving Krishna is a reflection of Krishna consciousness. What did I say?
Feeling constant separation while engaging in separation
is the perfection in the ocean. Oh, sorry. Feeling constant separation while engaged in Krishna's seva is a reflection of Krishna consciousness. Okay. Verse number one. This is why is this called Yoga Gita? Yoga means a pair. Lila Yuga means Radha and Krishna. The Yuga Gita means two songs together. So it's two and three, that's two, four and five, six and seven. Everywhere there's pairs of verses, see? Two and three. The first Gita of the Gopis is two Gopis who sing verse two and three. Each verse is sung by a different Gopi. First is Varalika, and then second Priya. That's one, two. Then the third and fourth verse, the fourth, that's two and three. The fourth and fifth is the Krishna Deity, Vidarika. She goes. And verse six and seven is Sri Devi and Sri Devi. It goes like that. Okay, verse 2 and 3. Vishnu's commentary introduction. The gopis are pining, suffering in separation from Krishna. They spend their days remembering him by reciting 12 pairs of verses known as Yoga Gita. The Gauri's frame, to nourish itself, divided into two parts. The coolness of direct enjoyment of Krishna in nighttime, moonlight, the heat of separation in daytime. The daytime they can only associate with Krishna by thinking of Krishna. Drinking the nectar of Krishna's flute song, Gauri's came immersed in the rasa of separation. When Krishna went to the forest to herd the cows, Gauri's mind chased after Krishna. Sri Gopi Uchu, Sri Gopi Uchu, Bhava Bhava Krita Bhava Kapalo, Bhagita Brur Adar Pita Venam, Kavalanga Vyashita Margam, Goyati Yachmakunda, Vyomayana Vanita Sasidhar, Vishitastara Vajraya Salaja, Kama Margana Samarpita Chitta, Kashwalam Yayur Apasrita Divya,
Kashwalam Yayur Apasrita Divya.
Belts and underwear came undone. Nivi, last word is Nivi. Nivi means Nivi. Nivi Dhamma. Read the translation.
The Gopi said, when Mukunda vibrates the flute he has placed to his lips, stopping its holes with his tender fingers, he rests his left cheek on his left arm and makes his eyebrows dance. At that time, the demigoddesses traveling in the sky with their husbands, the Siddhas, become amazed. As those ladies listen, they are embarrassed to find their minds yielded to the pursuit of lusty desires. And in their distress, they are unaware that the belts of their garments are loosening.
Watch out. I see Prabhupada's translation here. My dear Sakis, do you know that when Krishna lies on the ground, he rests on his left elbow? His head rests on his left hand. He moves his attractive eyebrows while playing his flute with no fingers. Pretty coordinated. He moves his attractive eyebrows while playing his flute, and the sound he produces creates a nice atmosphere. The deities in heaven, traveling in space with their wives and beloveds, stop their airplanes, for they are stunned by the vibrations of the flute. The wives of the deities, seeing their planes, become very ashamed of their singing and musical qualifications. Not only that, they become afflicted with amorous love, and their hair and tight dresses really loosen. Oh, looks bad. Let's see you the rest. Just by playing your flute. The upstairs girls will get disturbed. The girls upstairs. Hi, girl. He's lying down looking up, you know. That's right. He's looking at that. There he said he's looking out for Gopis, terrestrial Gopis. Leading the Shagarad. Hey. You look at me, I look at you. You're over there. That's right, he's lying down. Hey. Peking Tom. Overthrow liberation. Mukunda, the word of Mukunda is there. Overthrow liberation. When you play the flute, the halls which are gently touched with your delicate fingers, dance the eyebrows, his left cheek inclined toward the root of his left arm. Oh, coward women! The consorts! You're a coward woman. The consorts of the sinners flying through the air, accompanied by the sinners, their spouses, are struck with wonder to hear that music, and blushing to find their mind the target of the shafts of love, they fall into trance, forgetful that their skirts are getting loosened. And unsettled in their helpless state. For your skirt getting loosened? Well, that's it. Read the commentary.
While herding his cows in the Vrindavan forest, Krishna played his flute to announce his arrival and to console the trees, creepers, birds, beasts suffering in separation from him. The gopis, overwhelmed with waves of ecstasy from hearing the flute sound, spoke to their friends in 12 pairs of verses. Krishna rested his left cheek on his left shoulder in order to play the gamakas in the ascending and descending modes of the ragas. At the time Krishna placed his right shank over his left shank to assume a charming threefold bending form, which enchanted the three worlds. Krishna tilted his neck, rested the flute on his lower lip, and made his eyebrows dance to attract the attention of Subala and others to the skillfulness of his songs. What type of flute was it? It was equipped with 7 holes, which were covered by Krishna's fingers. Because Krishna never worked, his lotus petal-like fingers were softer than those of other men, but they were somewhat harder than his other lips. The wives of the Siddhas flying in the sky, though accompanied by their husbands, became astonished upon hearing the sound of the flute. We have never heard such enchanting flute playing before, which totally bewilders us, even though we are chaste ladies. Their husbands thought, even though we are men, this flute bewilders us too, and makes us assume the mentality of women. The celestial woman became embarrassed in the presence of his husbands and thought, our husband seeing our hesitation will have doubts on us. The husbands, on the other hand, became embarrassed, thinking, having given up our male identity and adopted female identities, our wives will have doubts about us. The celestial ladies and their husbands, the Siddhas, then succumbed to the arrows of lust. Seeing the arrows of love for Krishna approaching quickly, the wife said, oh, arrows of love for Krishna, quickly pierce these hearts which have been offered to you. Let us give up our faithfulness to our husbands and let Krishna enjoy with us. The husband said, as we have given up our manhood and our status as demigods, immediately turn us into gopis and enjoy with us. Both the women and their husbands became stunned due to the torment of arrows of the lust. The same feelings appeared in both parties at once. Therefore, the women's spells became loosened without their knowing, and the men's clothes and hair became loose without their knowing. Does the gopis imply, if the demigoddesses and even the demigods reach such an unprecedented state, then why are we, who are human beings, are, and moreover, cowherd girls living with Krishna in the same village, and who have already had his intimate association, standing here without his company? Therefore, my dear Sakis, even while our husbands and relatives watch and scold us, let us enter the forest of Vrindavan and enjoy with the beloved of our lives. This is the implication at the end of each pair of verses.
Pretty wild, huh? The verse says Krishna is standing in threefold many form. The Prabhupada says he's lying in the ground. So it's different vision of translators. Let's see what Jiva Goswami says about it. This chapter, Yogita, chapter 35, consists of statements collected from gopis standing in different groups scattered here and there. Sometimes they say, "Oh, days of Braj," text 12. Sometimes they say, "Oh, pure lady, your son, your darling," etc. This collection of statements by gopis is in definite order, according to the pastimes occurring in the morning, and other times up until nightfall. Thus first, when on the way to the forest he vibrates his flute, the ladies shrouding the sky experience bewilderment. Since they are higher than everyone else, they are first to receive Krishna's flute. Did you read this part about becoming embarrassed in front of a husband and wife? Okay. Wives are embarrassed, their skirts are falling off. Their husbands are going to wonder about them. Husbands are embarrassed in front of the wives and their doings are falling off. It's not, they're more embarrassed. It's natural for a woman to be attracted to a man, but it's a little odd for a husband to be attracted to Krishna. At least 5,000 years ago. Now it's okay, ordinary thing. Nothing new about that. Crazy age. People getting married, you know. Guys getting married, getting divorced. Pretty wild. So that was 2 and 3. I guess that's right. What time is it?
4:57.
I think we'll continue next Saturday, Bhagavatam class, Yoga Gita, verse number 4 and 5. Jai Jai Shri Radhe. Jai.